Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Good morning. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. What a joy to see all of your lovely faces this Lord's Day. I think I owe a brief preface to today's sermon, and that is, I haven't preached in a while, as you may have noticed, mainly because I was away for my vacation. But that means I've had a little bit more time to prepare my sermon, which means we might not have Sunday school today. I'm just giving a heads up. That's not true. But in all seriousness, I'll try to finish by 10:20 so that we can go to our Sunday school classes and also join for our volunteer luncheon, stuff like that. Now, if you've been following, if you can still remember, I've been talking about the names of God in the Bible. And my sincere hope and prayer is that as we explore these different names of God, it would really help us to understand his character and the person of God and help us as his people to live in the knowledge of that, and for us to really grow closer to him. Now, I have several names, and I just want to list a few of them to you. So I'm called Dad. I have a name of husband, son, father, uncle. I recently became an uncle. I still can't believe that. Nephew, B-boy. I used to be a b-boy. For those of you who don't know what b-boy is those people who break dance, all right? So believe it or not, I used to be a b-boy. That was just in the 10th grade, though. Just the 10th grade. But still a title that I hold on to. Grandson, pastor, student. And all these names carry different attributes of my life. They all describe the different parts of who I am. And so it is with God, all of his attributes, we get a better understanding of who he is. And that's the purpose of this series, right? To walk through those names of God to really understand it. If I can share this, I can still remember vividly 6 years ago. This is while I was dating my wife, Jessica. And one day we decided to take out a pizza at a pizza place. So I called them to place an order. And what do they do when you are trying to place an order? They ask you for your name. So I told the worker, you know, that my name is Abe. For those of you who didn't know, I used Abe as my nickname. I've been doing that since grade 8. You know, I almost took the name Abe, right? But I didn't because I thought it was too long, Abraham. And I thought that it wasn't cool enough to beat Ansik, so I chose Ansik. But deep in my heart, I am Abe. I was Abe. So, by the way, so my wife, Jessica, her Korean name is Adam, and it's shorter version of Abraham. And so, just wanted to let you know that there's another reason why we named our child Abe, which I think is pretty cool, but anyways, I told the worker that my name is Abe. And I don't know how you would usually spell Abe, right? A-B-E. I don't know what any other way of spelling, you know, Abe. Like, it's the only way of spelling Abe. But when I went into the store to pick up our pizza, I looked at a monitor where it had all the people who had ordered pizza. And guess how it was spelled as? Abe. Instead of A-B-E, it was spelled as A-P-E, like ape, like I was an ape or something. So Jessica and I both laughed so hard because we thought that was hilarious. And it was because it was clear that the worker heard the wrong, like, she clearly heard my name wrong. But to be honest, I was a little embarrassed, even though I didn't tell her that, because who names or call themselves Abe? I mean, come on. I hope my son doesn't have to face the situation being called Abe. But the reason I'm sharing this story to you is that your name is important, right? Isn't it? Your name is on an important document. It's how you reserve a table at a restaurant. It's the first thing that the customer representative asks you, right? It's attached to your birth certificate. It's attached to your passport. It's attached to your driver's license, social insurance number, everywhere. But what I want to say is that your name has value to it. And likewise, God's name has value because it encompasses who he is. And all the names that we're going to explore and have gone over already together starts with this Hebrew word, Jehovah. And to recap, it means the Lord or the existing one. And the chief meaning is to exist and to become known. And it always blows me away because his proper Hebrew name that starts with Jehovah is to exist and to become known. That the God of the universe has always wanted to know us and for us to know him. That he wants a personal relationship with every single one of us. We also learn his name, Jehovah Banner, and its character is to be our banner of hope and victory in the moments of battle in our life. And today, the name that we're going to look at is Jehovah Ra'ah. We're going to look at the meaning of it shortly, but it's found in Psalm 23, in our reading today, of course. A beautiful psalm that David wrote so many years ago, one that brings us comfort throughout all the different times of our life. Some of us are very familiar with this passage. And so some of us, we even had it, you know, in our nurseries, like it was painted as we were growing up. Some of us, we even buy the printed version of Psalm 21 or 23, and we put it up on a wall with a frame in it at our workplaces or something. It's a psalm which we find utmost comfort in the day of sickness and even in the day of death. And I know for a fact, we just all know this well. Now, oftentimes when we discuss Psalm 23, we take the object lesson that David has given us, how he focuses on the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. So we talk about sheep and we talk about how we, as his people who are sheep, we are weak, we're defenseless, we're dumb, we're in need of guidance, help, things like that. And the Bible does, in fact, describe humans as sheep. But as we continue our study this morning on the names of God, we consider not only that we're sheep, but that our God is our shepherd. And so, again, in Hebrew, when David wrote this psalm, he said, Jehovah Ra, meaning that the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the name that we're going to look at today. And we're going to explore four aspects of this name. And so we're going to see first that the Jehovah shepherd is diligent. And then we're going to see that he is protective. And then we're going to see that he is intimate. And then finally, we're going to see how our God as a shepherd is generous. So first of all, we're going to look at our shepherd, Jehovah, who is diligent. Now, anyone who knows me and knows that I'm not a farmer, although there was once, you know, this person, she told me that I look like someone who came from a countryside or something. Like, I mean, what does that even mean? But I don't have a garden, all right? I didn't grow up on a farm. I mean, that doesn't mean that I grew up in a big city. I didn't grow up in a big city, but, you know, we had running water, okay, growing up. We didn't have animals. We didn't have crops. And so in understanding God as a shepherd, what I had to do was I had to do a little bit of homework because I honestly don't know what it's like to grow up on a farm. And so I picked up a short book, very popular book. It's about Psalm 23, and it's about a shepherd. And if you want to learn about it a little bit more too, it's by Philip Keller, and it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I highly recommend it if you want to become a shepherd. No, if you want to become the sheep that the Psalm 23 is talking about, or if you want to know about God being our shepherd in Psalm 23, you might want to give it a read. Several things that we're going to consider this morning I gain from several chapters in this book. But one of the things that stood out to me the most, more than anything else, in understanding God as a shepherd is the diligence. Diligence that is required in keeping sheep. You know, as I was reading this, I was dumbfounded how, you know, how much work it takes to take care of the sheep. In the book, I found that the shepherd must ensure that there is healthy land for the sheep to graze upon. And so sometimes this would include the sowing of the seed, fertilization, the rotation of crops, proper irrigation, things like that. And so in keeping sheep, a shepherd has to be a farmer. He has to be able to till the land, farm the land so that it's available for the sheep to graze. And then I found out that in order for sheep to sleep, they must be free from four impediments. These four things that could keep them from sleeping. And they are fear, social tension, pests, and hunger. And do you know whose job it is to make sure that the sheep are not threatened by fear or social tension or pests or hunger? Of course, it's the job of the shepherd. Not only that, a shepherd may sometimes have to sit up all night to protect the sheep from any danger. He must keep a watchful eye in case any sheep strays too far or becomes cast. Another thing that I knew nothing about, but when a sheep is cast, is turned over on its back, once it gets fallen, it can't get up by itself. And very soon, as that sheep lies on its back, what happens is that gases begins to build up, and so it becomes bloated and its muscles become paralyzed, and so it cannot move. And eventually, the sheep will die unless the shepherd finds the sheep. And so the shepherd must keep a watchful eye, not only for the predators that might prey upon the sheep, but in case any of these sheep have turned over or they have become cast. So the shepherd's job is, as you can imagine, is endless. He has so much that he has to do to take care of the sheep. And I was so very surprised at the diligence that is required from the sheep or the shepherd to ensure that his sheep are safe and healthy. And so in understanding that God is our shepherd, we understand that he too is diligent. God is diligent. He's diligent for us in several different ways too. And so in Psalm 23, verse 1, we know what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And so we see that the Lord is first a diligent shepherd in that he provides for our needs. I mean, it would be misleading or incorrect for us to kind of claim that following the Lord will never have us lack in anything. No, that's not what David is saying here. But he is saying that our needs, especially our spiritual needs, will be met by our shepherd, the Lord. The Lord is diligent in providing for our spiritual needs. Now, on the one hand, the good shepherd expects his church to help to right the wrongs of the world. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. And so one way that the Lord provides as our shepherd diligently for us is through the work of his church, through the spiritual things that the church can provide to each individual. But he also provides diligently for our spiritual needs through his son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And then in Psalm chapter 130, verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. The Lord is diligent in providing for us, especially in providing for our spiritual needs. See, he does not neglect us, and he's provided for our physical needs with the food which we're able to eat on this earth. But more importantly, for our spiritual needs, he has provided us, his son, Jesus, and his church, the body of Christ, to make sure we receive the spiritual nourishment we need. And so Paul says in Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our very being. So in recognizing God as our shepherd, we first understand that he is diligent in providing for us. But second of all, we see that God as our shepherd is protective. He is protective. Sheep are defenseless animals. Without the shepherd, they fall prey to a number of different predators. And if I can just name some of the predators are coyotes, foxes, bobcats, wolves, bears, and mountain lions. These all prey upon sheep. And without the help of the shepherd, the sheep are without defense. Now, as a shepherd himself, King David, the author of Psalm 23, protected his own sheep from predators. David tells King Saul of his protective efforts as a shepherd in 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning verse 34. There David recalls to Saul. He says, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And we know from scripture that David does go on and he kills Goliath, just as he previously killed bears and lions. And in the same way, God is our shepherd protecting us, his sheep, from evil. And it's not surprising that God often compares us to sheep and himself to a shepherd, that the enemies, our spiritual enemies, are described as animals that prey upon sheep. And so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Satan is described as that lion. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And so the Lord protects us as a shepherd from these predators, these evil forces that would try to draw us away from him. One of the most comforting verses that we read in Psalm 23 is verse 4. Where David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Now the rod, I've got a picture here on the screen, it's from the book, it's the shorter of the two instruments that the shepherd uses. Now according to the Philip Keller in his book, the rod was something like a club that the shepherd used to protect his sheep. One shepherd would go out into the bush, this is what he says in the book, and select a young sapling and dig it from the ground. He would carve it and whittle it down, and he would use the enlarged base where all the roots had come out to make a smooth, rounded head of hardwood. He would then spend hours practicing with his club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It became to him his main weapon of defense for protecting his sheep. The rod is a weapon that the shepherd uses to protect his sheep. And one way that God protects us today, one of among many, is through the rod of his holy word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Lord is our shepherd, and he protects us from the forces of evil. And he protects us through his holy word. Amen? And we also see that the Lord is our shepherd is intimate. Lord is intimate. He's intimate, Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus carries over the shepherd imagery that we see forming in the Old Testament, Psalm 23. And in John chapter 10, verses 11, Jesus states, I'm the good shepherd. And he goes on to say later in that chapter, chapter 10 of John, verses 27 and 28, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep, in which he describes the shepherd going out to find that one lost sheep, leaving behind the 99 to find that one lost sheep to save. Now, all of this describes to us a very personal intimacy that God has with each one of us, that he's interested not only in the group, but in the individual. Now, I trust that you all have received this on your way in this morning. I want you to take out your shepherd's hook, right? I know some of you have been waiting for this moment, although you didn't know when it was going to be used for during the worship. For some of us, I know it's funny because it suddenly became a traveling sermon or something. But you notice, if you see, that the candy cane resembles closely the shepherd, his staff. It has the hook there on the end, right? Just like a shepherd's hook. Now, there are three areas in which the shepherd uses his staff with his sheep. And all these areas demonstrate the closeness that the shepherd has with the sheep. And one way that the shepherd uses his staff is that when a new lamb is born. Isn't that interesting? He takes that staff and picks it up. He picks up the lamb, and what he does is he places it in the bosom of his mother. Right? And what it shows is it shows the care and the intimacy that the shepherd has for the sheep. Another way that he uses his staff is that when he needs to see a particular lamb or sheep to protect it or to care for it, he draws that sheep to himself intimately with the staff. And finally, one other way he uses that staff is he guides the sheep with his staff. He will place the staff on the side of the sheep, and he will apply a gentle pressure so that the sheep knows where it's supposed to go, which direction to go. And what was most interesting in my reading about the staff was that from time to time, the shepherd had a particular lamb or sheep that he liked. It was his pet lamb or sheep. He would allow his staff to gently lean on this, you know, staff on a particular lamb. So even as they walked in the pasture, the shepherd would just rest his staff on the sheep. And it was a way of saying, I, your shepherd, is with you. I'm with you. It was as if the shepherd and the sheep were holding hands. Now, when we see God as our shepherd, his rod is for discipline and for protection. But his staff is showing us the closeness that God has to each one of us as his sheep. So I hope this will be a good reminder of the closeness that God has for us as we take this home. Let's not, you know, unwrap this now. Please kindly take this home, all right? But one way that we enjoy intimacy with our shepherd is through what? Through prayer. We share with God as our shepherd or our father through prayer. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, this, pray then like this, our Father who is in heaven. We call him Father because we're close to him. We're his children. We share with them a prayer in our very deepest feelings, even when we're not able to say those things out loud. Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. As our shepherd, Jehovah is intimate. He loves us dearly and personally. And so we also read in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11, it says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The Lord is our shepherd, is intimate. He is close to each one of us. Amen? And then we see finally that the Lord, our shepherd, is generous. Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the conclusion of this great Psalm, Psalm 23, we see the generosity of our God, our shepherd. Now the skeptic, the critic, has made fun of this Psalm, Psalm 23. The atheist, they might say things like, you foolish Christians, you see God as a shepherd? Are you kidding me? Describing him as a loving, caring, nurturing kind of a figure. But in reality, the shepherds, their whole purpose in the end is to gain benefits from the sheep. He shears them for their wool. When the sheep no longer serve their purpose, what do? They kill them. They slaughter them, don't they? That's not the way that David concludes the psalm about the great shepherd. David concludes the psalm saying, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As our shepherd, God is not going to kill us off, but he will keep us forever as his sheep. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. That's what it's saying to us. It's important to remember that God is generous. He pours out his love and his mercy on his people. And so in describing the generosity of the good shepherd, Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 34, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, when no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, that will your heart be also. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He has lavished gifts upon us, particularly an opportunity for us to dwell in his house forever. Jesus reaffirms that promise in John 14. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am going, you may go also. And you know the way where I am going. Now God's promise in his generosity as our shepherd is that we, as his sheep, may dwell with him forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is our shepherd. The Lord is diligent. He's protective. He's intimate. And he's generous. And as we conclude this morning, I want to ask, have you placed your trust in him? Are you a part of his flock? Has he washed your sins clean with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ? Come, believing in Jesus Christ, repenting, turning away from your sins, confessing the name of Jesus and be baptized. Be baptized. And you'll be like that new little lamb that the shepherd takes up with his staff and brings into his care. And you'll enjoy the watchful care of the diligent, protective, intimate, and generous shepherd. I'd like to end by reading today's call to worship. Psalm 95, verses 6, 7. It says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." And what a joy it is for us to be the flock under His care. If you don't know that joy this morning, the invitation is open to you as we pray and sing the song together. So let's first pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our shepherd. And thank you so much for calling us as your sheep. Father, we're so thankful for your diligence, protection, intimacy, and generosity. As we just continue to live in your care, may we always hear your voice and glorify you to ultimately dwell in your house forever. Father, we also lift up those who do not know you yet. We pray that you open their hearts, touch their lives, and lead them to know you and receive your amazing grace and your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.